All right, yeah, so Matthew 25, and we're going to start in verse 14. And I'll read there right to verse 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents, and behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there hast thou that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto them which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a parable here in Matthew, starting in Matthew 24 and 25. The Lord is giving some clarity to his disciples on what was coming. And he closes this portion with a few parables here, and he's giving them, often Jesus taught this way. He would teach with stories, with parables, that they could grasp a truth of the kingdom. Often he's explaining what the kingdom of heaven was like. And this parable here is often called the parable of talents. Maybe it says that in your Bible, the parable of the talents. But I think it would be better named the parable of the faithful servants and the unfaithful servant. I think that the focus is not so much the talents. The focus is the Lord going away and expecting faithfulness. He's teaching his followers here many different times as we go through these passages about how to wait for his return. Brother Bernie shared before he's coming soon. And the Lord is teaching his disciples and those that were in front of him, and then also us today, on what we should be, how we should be watchful, how we should be careful with our life. And here in this parable, he's teaching them what they should be doing while he's gone. That's what this parable is about. And here he's sharing with them his expectations. And the one that sticks out here to most Christians in this passage, probably the one verse that sticks out the most, and the one that we love, is where he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's a verse that is often mentioned and talked about, and it's a verse, when we think of our Lord, and when we think of that day when we too will hear those words, We desire to hear those words. I think every one of us really wants to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So the question came to me as I was meditating on this scripture. The simple question came to me, and as you read your Bible, it's good, very good to ask yourself questions. You know, if I'm one of these servants, and ask yourself the question, am I a good and faithful servant? Am I a good and faithful servant? How have I invested what my master has given to me and brought increase? Am I investing what God has given to me, what the master has entrusted unto me, the responsibility he's given to me? Have I and am I bringing increase? Am I a faithful servant? These three servants were given three different amounts of money, but they all had the same responsibility, and that was to invest it in the master's kingdom and bring increase. That was their responsibility. And the scripture here says in the King James Version, it calls them talents. A talent was simply a weight, a measure that they used. And one talent, there's many different thoughts exactly what one talent was. I think they said 75 pounds or something like that. It's pretty agreed upon. And we don't know if it was gold or silver, but if it was gold, one talent of gold would have been worth about $2 million. You can imagine, even today, you think 75 pounds of gold is worth a lot of money. And so if you can imagine this here, the one that got $10 million. He was entrusted a lot of money. It teaches us a few things here. This master is very wealthy. He had a lot of possessions. He had a lot of money. And he entrusted these three men with his possessions. And he knew them. He knew these three men. He knew them well. He knew this one I'll give five, this one I'll give two, and this one I'll give one, because he knew exactly their ability. If you read this passage there, he says he gave them according to their ability. So that's something important for us to consider here as we go through this. But he trusted his wealth into his servant's hands, and our Lord and Master has entrusted the wealth of his grace, of his gospel, ultimately, and of all of his good gifts unto us, his servants. If you're a Christian here this morning, you're one of his servants, and he's entrusted unto you also to bring increase, to be faithful with his gospel, his grace, and all of the good gifts and responsibilities given to us. And so I want to, this morning, answer the question. I want us, all of us, to answer the question and ask yourself the question, am I a good and faithful servant? Am I living as a good and faithful servant? And I want to help us to answer that question, because this is what I did. I'd look at this passage and I examine my own life. It's important for us to do this, very important, especially as we read the scriptures. The scriptures is a mirror. The Bible says that it's the law of God is a mirror. The word of God is a mirror to us. We look at it and we see ourselves. We see our needs. We see the blemishes. We see the areas of weakness. And we see the areas that God has been working and cleansing and helping. And so it's good for us to examine ourselves. So first of all, I'm just going to go through a few things here from this passage. We're not going to go verse by verse. I'm just going to take the main drive, I believe, of this passage and help us to answer these questions. We have a few questions. Number one, what has God given you? Number two, are you faithfully increasing what he's given to you? Number three, what do you need to do to make sure you will hear well done? And lastly, we're going to talk about the reward of faithfulness that he talks about here. So first of all, what has he given you? Verse 15, and unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So like I said already, the master knew his servants. He knew them inside out. And I think any of you that are in here that are a boss of workers, I know Corney is, and some of you others have responsibility or have maybe in the past been an overseer of a group of workers. You know your workers. You get to know them pretty quickly. You get to know what their abilities are. You get to know what they can handle and what they can't handle. Well, that's what this master knew too. He knew his servants. He knew what each one could handle. And so he gave them according to that. And I thought of this. Isn't that a tremendous blessing to know? Our Lord Jesus Christ, he knows each and every one of us inside out, upside down. He knows everything about you. He knows everything. He knows your thoughts. He knows your upbringing. He knows all the details of your life. And he will give and has given to you as his child and as his servant only what he knows is what you can bring increase with. And his expectation of you is the same as this master's was of these three men, to bring increase with what they had, with according to their ability, 5, 2, and 1. Every one of them was just simply supposed to be responsible and fruitful with what he gave them. But it's such a blessing to know that our Lord knows us exactly, and he knows what we can handle, and he knows what we can bring increase with. Now, if I stand here this morning, I can ask you the question, even as you sit here, you can think in your own mind, what are some of the things that the Lord has given me to do? What are some of the responsibilities that I have as a Christian? What are some of the gifts that I have? Now, as you sit here, just allow your mind to consider, what are the good gifts that God has given to me? What are the responsibilities that God has given to me? I'm sure things pop into your mind. They should. Because every one of us in here has been given some talents. Every one of us in here, and that word talent is confusing because we think talent as in, you know, a talent show and, you know, being able to juggle or that kind of stuff. That's not what it's talking about. We're talking about, like I said, talent is a measure of weight. But this was something the master had that he entrusted to his servants. And this is what God has done. He has entrusted unto us responsibilities, gifts. And like I said, the greatest one is the gospel, his grace. He's entrusted that to his church, to his people, to bring increase to his kingdom. But as you sit here this morning, like I said, the first thing that we want to understand is, what has he given to you? Think about that. Ask yourself that question. And as I considered it, obviously things come to my mind immediately. The first thing that comes to my mind is my relationship. My master has given unto me a wife. He's given unto me children. And he's told me exactly how I can be faithful with them. He has given me clear explanation and clear direction on how I can be fruitful and bring increase in my relationship with my wife and my relationship with my children. And you sort of think of your relationships. Those are gifts from God. Your relationships, your closest relationships, those are gifts. And not only gifts, but those are things that he has entrusted to you. Those are people that he has entrusted to you. Not just the husbands, but the wives also. Children also. You have parents. You have responsibilities. You've been given, if you're a Christian here, you've been given these relationships by the Father that you might bring increase to his kingdom. That's what he wants you to do in that relationship. And so ask yourself that question, how am I doing? How am I doing with that? How am I doing in all of my relationships? When I think of my responsibility as an elder, that God has given that to me. He's given me the responsibility to watch over the church. He's given me the responsibility to oversee. He's given me the responsibility to teach. He's given me the gift to teach. And I as I was considering these things, I'm examining myself. How am I doing? How would I do this week? If the Lord was to return this week, would he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful with this gift I've given you. Thou hast been faithful with these 5 children I've given to you. You've been faithful. Would he say that? So I examine myself. I want to consider that. I want to, the gospel that I've given to you, I've entrusted to you this precious, glorious message. Have you shared it? Have you been faithful with it? Are you thinking about that? Have I been? But all these responsibilities, all these things that he's given to us, and he wants us to simply be faithful. And like I said, he knows us. He's not going to give us more than we can handle. He's not going to give us what we're not able. Like he said, he gave according to ability what we're not able to bring fruit with. Some only had one. And like I said, we can take and we can draw out of this passage many things. There's what I'm sharing here is, I believe, all through the scriptures the principles that this passage teaches. I mean, to go into all the specifics exactly to say what this is, but I know for sure it's talking about bringing increase to God's kingdom and how we as his servants ought to be faithful and how we can be faithful. We've been entrusted with all these wonderful things, and he's entrusted each one of us with a spiritual gift, and he's entrusted us with those that are around us. He's entrusted us with building up this church. Every one of us, not just those that teach and preach here, are responsible for that, but every one of you has been entrusted to be a part of this group to build up this church. And so just take some time, and I would encourage you, even this week, take some time and take stock and consider all of your responsibilities, all of the gifts God has given to you, and ask yourself the simple question, am I being faithful with it? Am I being a faithful steward? Am I taking those? And you can imagine these three servants, as soon as the master left, it says that he was gone for a long time. He was gone for a long time. So I'm sure many of you have experienced this. I remember especially when I was unconverted, when my parents would leave, you have this sense, this thing comes in your mind, now I can do stuff. Now I can do stuff that I wouldn't do if they were home. That's automatic. As an unconverted child, and you get into stuff that you definitely wouldn't do if they weren't there. And you can no doubt know these servants had the same temptation. Oh, I have all this. I can go spend it. I can go do this with it. But we know they didn't. We know the first two didn't. And even the last one didn't. They didn't go waste it and spend it. But this thing, just to know, he's not here. The master's gone. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's going to return. But to have that reality, to know that even though he's been gone for a long time and he may still not come back right around the corner, he may. We don't know for sure. No man knows the day. But we need to live. What we learn in this passage is faithful. Faithful. That's what he's looking for. So the second question, are you faithfully increasing what he's given to you? Am I being faithful with what he has given to me and bringing increase? The first thing I think we need to do is to define what that even looks like. I think that, like a lot of things in life, we don't have clarity. If we don't have clarity, then we won't know if we've actually been faithful in something. I think it was my son Mylon's last birthday, I got him a bow and arrow. And I remember, you can take that bow and arrow and you can pull it back and you can shoot it up in the air. And it's kind of fun. It'll go up really high and it'll come down. And who knows where, but it'll land. It's fun, you know, just kind of shoot the arrow around and not really do much with it. You can have fun with a bow and arrow just shooting it wherever. But if you put up a bullseye and you step back and you aim at that bullseye and you hit it right in the center, now you've accomplished something. Now you're aiming at something and you hit it. You know, this is a thing. If, as Christians, we know, I'm going to stand up here, this isn't new to you. You all know you ought to be faithful. This is nothing new. I know I need to be a faithful husband, a faithful faithful with the gift God's given me, a faithful servant at work. I know I need to be faithful in all these things. But do I know what that faithfulness will look like? Do I actually have a bullseye that if I hit it, I'll know I hit it? That if I actually accomplish increase, these three men knew. They knew. They had five. He comes back later, and now he's got 10. He doubled it. So he brought increase. He knew how to do it. He did it. And when the Lord returned, he had brought increase. That's the question. Do you even know what the bullseye is? Do you even know what you're aiming at as a husband? Husbands here, do you even know what it looks like to bring increase in your marriage? Well, the tremendous blessing that we have is the Bible has given us exactly clear what the bullseye is. The Bible, God has taught us exactly what we need to be aiming at. We don't need to wonder. We don't need to I want to be a good husband. I had no idea what to do. I had no idea how to do it. Well, take a look at the bullseye in the scriptures. The Bible's clear. The Bible tells us exactly how we ought to be as husband. The standard, the bullseye, is husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Lay down your life for your wife. And now when you know that scripture, that's the bullseye. Well, what's that going to look like tomorrow? What do I have to do in a practical way to make that a reality? You start to realize, if you keep that in your mind, I'm going to lay down my life for her. I need to sacrifice for her. Oh, that means I can't just do whatever I want to do today. That means I can't just pursue my own pursuits. My life is first and foremost laying down for her as a husband. That's the goal. That's the aim. That's faithfulness. If I want to hear well done from my master, well done, thou good and faithful husband. You have loved her as Christ loved the church. That's what I want to hear. You know, we can often talk in generalities, but when you start making it specific, if the master says to you, here, I gave you this wife, you were faithful. You helped her conform into the image of Christ. You served her. You gave yourself for her. That's faithfulness. I know what I'm aiming at. This is what I want to know. And the Bible tells us exactly how. The Bible says I'm to dwell with her according to knowledge. That means I'm not supposed to just override and just say, this is the way we're going, and I don't care what you say. I'm the head of the home, and this is what we're doing. No, that's not it. That's missing the target. The target is, faithfulness is dwelling with her according to what I know of her. I know if I make that decision, that's going to be hard for her. We can do it a different way and not compromise the scripture, and I can still make this decision in our marriage, and I will be dwelling with her according to knowledge and bring increase in our marriage. What's increase look like? A happy wife. A joyful wife. A strong relationship. That's what it looks like. And so we need to know what we're aiming for. We need to know what we're trying to hit. Some of you in this room have, I'm just going to pick on one of the gifts. Encouragement. You have the gift of encouragement. I know many of you have that gift. The gift of encouragement. So how do you know if you're hitting the target? How do you know if you're bringing increase in that gift? How do you know if the kingdom, if faithfulness is a reality in that? Well, we have the scriptures. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, or you could say encouragement, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So there's a target. With your gift of encouragement, are you ministering grace unto those that are hearing your encouragements? Are you hearing from others, from those that you seek to encourage, that they are in fact being encouraged? You know you're hitting the mark. You're bringing increase. What happens when you, with the gift of encouragement, encourage someone else? What happens? Well, now you have another encouraged person. And that encouraged person, what happens? They encourage someone else. It's always that way. They often will share how they were encouraged with something that some other sister or brother shared with them. And what happens then? The next person is encouraged, or many more. You see how increase happens. This is what faithfulness looks like. This is what hitting the target looks like. And this is what our Lord and Master, he's entrusted unto us this, these gifts, these responsibilities. And he wants us to be faithful. And he wants us to bring increase. Day in, day out, you will see fruit. You will see increase. So are we doing that? Or are we hiding it in the dirt? Digging it up. Thank you, Lord, for that gift. Thank you so much. That was so nice. But I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to be faithful with it. It doesn't sound quite as wicked. You know, it's not that you're taking the gift, you're not taking the money, and like I said, you're not splurging it. You're not going and spending it on lewd living and lust of the flesh and all that. You're just not doing anything with it. Just kind of stepping back. And we know the words of the Lord, what he said to him. Thou wicked and slothful servant.
That's jarring. That's shocking that the Lord would say that. What did he do? He wasn't wicked. He didn't go and live a riotous life like the prodigal son. Doesn't look like it. He just didn't do anything. He just hid it. But the master said he was wicked and slothful. Can you imagine standing before our Lord on that day and hearing those words? The Lord tells us this parable so that we will be fearful to ever hear those words. Of course I don't ever want to hear those words. So we want to be the ones that hear the words, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The master hasn't yet returned. You know, maybe even as I share these things, I give a few examples of husbands and, you know, wives. You can take these applications as you consider the scriptures, some of spiritual gifts, the gospel. You know, I think every one of us would probably feel like we have not been faithful in proclaiming that glorious good news that we have, that saved our souls. We have not been faithful with that. I think probably every one of us would say that we haven't been. And so we've all buried that gospel in the ground. And we pull it out every now and then. But have we been bringing increase? Have we been sharing it in a way that sometimes we don't see the increase right away? We don't see it in front of us. But you think, well, am I going to hear the Lord then say to me, "I gave you this gospel message and you never shared it with anyone, thou wicked and slothful servant"? I don't believe that's what will happen if we're his true believers, because our heart's desire, and even if we haven't been perfectly faithful with it, if we have given ourselves, if we are seeking to, don't get discouraged. And if that's what you have been doing, go dig it up. Go dig it up and start investing. Start getting it out. Do what you can. That's what I want to do. Like I said, I can't prepare a message like this and not allow it to affect me. I need to make some changes. I need to realize that God's going to hold me accountable for this gospel he's given to me. He wants me to have a loose tongue, not to be keeping it to myself, not to be burying it under the ground. It's glorious to have it. It's glorious to have my sins forgiven. It's wonderful to be free. It's wonderful to have victory. But I'm not being faithful in proclaiming it like I should be. I want to bring increase. He's worthy. So the next question is, what changes do you need to make so that you will bring forth double? That's what the first two did. They increased what the master had given to them and brought him double what he'd given to them. My desire here is not to bring condemnation for the areas you're failing, but rather to inspire and encourage us, if we have been lacking, like I said, to dig it up and begin to invest. And the way that happens is by making practical, daily, weekly steps in our lives so that we're going to hear in all these different areas, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you this, you were faithful. I gave you this, you were faithful. I gave you this, you were faithful." That's what I want to hear. And the thing is, as we examine ourselves and as we realize, "I haven't been faithful. I haven't been faithful." And I am going to make some changes. But what happens is we get into a rut. It's hard to change bad habits. Everybody has experienced that. It's hard. You create some bad habits in your life, it's not easy to just drop them. Anybody that ever tried quitting smoking will tell you that. It's hard to quit smoking. I mean, you talk to Eddie Jansen, he'll tell you his testimony. God had to zap him with a miracle in order to give him no taste for smoking. But making habit changes is hard. One of the reasons is, I think, because people focus on the negative habit. They're focused, "I got to change this. I got to stop this. I got to get rid of that." But I can tell you something. If you will rather create good habits, just create new good habits in your life in these different areas, in all these things to be faithful. "I'm going to be faithful as a husband. And here's what I'm going to do every day for my wife to show I love her and cherish her and care for her. Here's what I'm going to do. Something small. You know, do the dishes every day. Whatever. You decide what it is. What would bless her. It's what I'm going to do every day. It's still a 5-minute thing. A little bit of faithfulness, but I'm going to make it a daily thing. And I'm going to make it a purpose to hand out one gospel tract every time I'm out. Just one tract. I'm going to try to speak up for him. Just little tiny habits of faithfulness. And pretty soon, the bad habits start dwindling. Because you're busy about keeping good ones. It's not the focus is not getting rid of a bad habit. The focus is creating good, godly ones. Ones that God has given us to do. I decided, even as I was preparing this, to take my free moments more captive. My free moments where I don't have I'm not specifically doing something, and grab my phone and kind of scroll through and look at some news or look at some, I think I shared before, a documentary on plane crash videos. Why would anybody want to watch that, right? I just find it very interesting. But anyways, because I don't, you know, anyways, we don't want to talk about that. But the reality is, so what am I going to do? No, I'm going to take now, and I'm going to take that same amount of time, and I realize God has given me the responsibility to teach his word, so I'm going to meditate on the scripture. I'm going to take just a verse, just a few minutes, like if I got 30 seconds or a minute, I want to make that a habit in my life. I want to make that a regular thing where I will immediately, when that temptation comes to just do waste of time things, I'm going to make it profitable instead. And it's not a huge commitment. It's not like I'm going to, you know, start running 2 miles a day every single day when I've never run before. You know, that's not what we're saying here. Just making small little changes in your life will create faithfulness in you. And it'll create long-term return because we're trying to bring increase in our lives. I was deciding upon just here another little one. As a father, I decided that a while ago, I decided I want to be a better long-distance father to my son, Genoa, in Ontario. And so I decided I was going to make sure I call him once a week. And I have not been very faithful with that. We've been, you know, up and down with that. But I just, as I was preparing this message, I thought, no, I want to do this. And I want to be purposeful in my time with him on the phone. I just want to talk with him and try to encourage him and help him along. But I'm going to commit myself to it. I'm not going to let it fall through the cracks. I want to do it. So I actually, as I was preparing, I gave him a call. I had a good talk with him. And so I realized, but we can all do this. We can go in spurts. And we just want to, you know, we start doing good for a little bit, then kind of fall down again. We start doing good a little bit, then kind of fall again. But that's why if we just make these things, these faithful daily habits a part of our life, it will make a huge difference. A huge difference in our lives, and we will show increase to our Father on that day. And so ask yourself the question, as you think of all these things, what are the areas that you need to make changes in? What are the areas where you have not been faithful? Maybe some of the same things I have shared already, maybe some of the same areas in your life, you realize you've been slacking, you've been becoming distracted, you're not doing much with what God has given you. Let's be faithful. We need to take the time, like I said, first of all, to examine ourselves and really look at what are the areas where we need to be increasing and being more faithful in. Because I know every one of us has a testimony. I want to hear him say, well done. I want to please him. I want to increase the investment that he's made into me. I was looking into investing money. If you would have invested $1 a day in Apple stock from the day it went public in 1980, $1 a day, that's $365 a year. Not a lot of money. That's, you know, back then you probably could have bought a coffee for a dollar. Probably would have been cheaper than that. But instead of buying your daily coffee, you put a dollar a day in the Apple stock. At that time, it was Apple stock, I think it was like 10 cents a share. So you got 10 shares for in 1980. So anyways, as it increased, we all know how compound interest works, I think. So in 40 years, from 1980 till today, it's 44 years, you would have invested of your own money $15,330 of your own money. Anybody want to guess how much interest you would have earned? Anybody want to take a wild guess in the dark?
$700,000.
You would have in your bank $3,330,000, $1 a day for 40 years, and that's all. Because about now that one share of Apple, I think, is around $200 or something like that. So, but because of compound interest, and it's only $1 a day. But you see, a small amount of investment makes a huge difference over a long period of time. And it is exactly that way in the spiritual. It is exactly that way in the spiritual, except it's not temporal return. The return for those, I'm sure there's some that did that, and probably many that did a lot more than a dollar a day, and they're billionaires because of it today, but we have the opportunity to invest our time, the stewardship God has given to us, and we will see eternal results. We will see eternal interest, way more than $3 million. It's a spit in the bucket. It's nothing. And we need to realize that. We need to remember that. He wants us to be faithful stewards, but our reward's going to be so, so, so much greater. Now let's talk about that a little bit, our reward. Matthew 25:23. Here's what he says to both of the faithful ones. Listen to what he says to them. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Can you imagine the relief on that day of hearing those words and thinking of all the areas of your life that you decided, I'm going to be faithful? And then you hear the Lord say those words to you. Can you imagine how wonderful that would be? That will be, to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. We're going to know that was worth it. That was worth it. That sacrifice, that little bit that I gave up of my time, that little bit, it's going to seem so small. Any sacrifice we made in this life is going to seem so small when the Lord says to us, well done. Well done. A few things as I look at this here. First of all, we are rewarded with greater responsibility. Isn't that interesting? The master gives the reward of, how's he saying? I will make thee ruler over many things. Well, this is common. I think any of you in here know exactly what this is. If you are a faithful worker for your boss and you're faithful for him every day, you know what he does? He gives you more responsibility. And that is actually a good thing. I think any of you that have experienced that, I know as the more faithful you are, bosses are looking for faithful workers, and they find a faithful one, they will give him more responsibility. And not only that, they give him a raise, and then they can get more responsibility. And that's exactly as that mentality or that principle is the same as our Lord. He sees faithful servants, and he will give more responsibility to those faithful servants. And that comes to our mind then, what are you talking about? Is heaven going to be work? Is it going to be work in heaven? Yes. Yes. There's going to be responsibility in heaven. It's not going to be plucking on harps and sitting on a cloud. Heaven is going to be a place of responsibility. It's going to be a place of eternal joy. I don't know what it's all going to be. I don't know exactly how that's going to be, but I believe the scripture teaches us that it's going to be more than just sitting around and singing kumbaya and hallelujah all day long. We're going to be singing, no question about that. We're going to be worshiping. We're going to be at his feet. I don't know, like I said, but there's a lot of scriptures that teach us there's more to heaven than just one eternal church service. I can guarantee you that's not all it's going to be. But our master He's going to give us more responsibility. And I like the way Matthew Henry says it. He kind of sums it up nicely here. He says, Christ is a master that will prefer his servants who acquit themselves well. Christ has honor in store for those that honor him. A crown, says in 2 Timothy 4:8, a throne, Revelation 3:21, a kingdom, in Matthew 25:34. Here on this earth they are beggars, in heaven they shall be rulers. The upright shall have dominion. Christ's servants are all princes. I don't fully grasp what it all means, that we're going to be given responsibility to rule, but if we've been faithful here, and we get to serve our king and our master directly, that sounds good to me. That sounds good to me. And not only that, he says, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. You know, what does the Lord, what the master was there, he was proud of these men. He was happy with them. He had joy in them. He was, enter into the joy that I have right now. Join me. Be with me, he was saying to these servants. You've been faithful. You've done well. He was joyful for them, and he wanted them to enter into it with him. Be joyful with me. You've been faithful. Be joyful with me. And again, I appreciate how Matthew Henry says it. The state of the blessed is a state of joy. Not only because all tears shall then be wiped away, but all the springs of comfort shall be opened to them, and the fountains of joy broken up. Where there are the vision and fruition of God, a perfection of holiness, and the society of the blessed, there cannot but be a fullness of joy. This joy is the joy of their Lord, the joy which he himself has purchased and provided for them, the joy of the redeemed, bought with the sorrow of the Redeemer. It is the joy which he himself is in the possession of, and which he had his eye upon when he endured the cross and despised the shame. It is the joy of which he himself is the fountain and center. It is the joy of our Lord, for it is joy in the Lord who is our exceeding joy. That's going to be wonderful. I want you to notice here also in that parable, the one who had received 5 talents, and the one who had received 2 talents, both of them received exactly the same reward. You ever notice that? The one that brought more increase, you would think, would get more. But no, our Master, our Lord, he only requires what we give to him. He doesn't require us to be like the one beside you, or that brother, or that sister. He has given you responsibility. He has given you gift. He just wants you to be faithful with it. Whether it's 1, whether it's 5, 10, 20, he just wants you to be faithful. He's not giving you more. He's not giving you less. He's not expecting more. He's not expecting less. That's a wonderful thought. He's such a gracious, gracious master. And as glorious as the reward's going to be, the unfaithful, the one that is not a faithful servant, that is a terrifying thing. You know, the unfaithful servant, I believe, is clearly someone that has shown themselves to not be a true believer. And why do I say that? Because so all through the scriptures it says, faith without works is dead. So this unfaithful servant, he had some sort of a faith, but it had no works. He probably had some sort of profession. He had some sort of, Lord, Lord, when did we see thee this way? That's the next parable, actually, right after this one. The true believers are the ones that are showing their faith by their works. The true believers, if you sit here this morning and you hear this message and you hear about being faithful and it doesn't affect you and you think, yeah, I got stuff, but I'm not really responsible or whatever, then that's clear evidence that you're not a believer. But if you hear these things and your heart's desire is, I want to be more faithful, I want to hear him say, well done, then I know, because of the scriptures, of many of the scriptures that talk about faith with works, is that you're a true believer and God wants you to continue in faithfulness. But just to hear those sobering words again, that those will hear that are not faithful, that wicked and slothful servant. He casts him into outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not only that, he takes that talent that he gave him and gave it to the one that had increased to 10. And maybe some of you have looked at that passage and wonder, why did he do that? That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem right. But you have to remember here, the Lord, this man was unfaithful with what he had given. The Lord still wanted increase. You know, I'm going to get increase from this servant. I'll give it to him. You are not bringing forth anything. Get out of here. That's what he says to him. He wants his servants to be faithful, and if they are, he gives them more. And he gives them more. So I want to encourage us. There's coming a day when we're going to stand before him. There's coming a day when each and every one of us is going to stand before him. And he will examine our lives. And he will consider our faithfulness. And he will say, well done, if we have been faithful. If we have been faithful with what he has given to us, he will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I'm looking forward to that. I am looking forward to that. Let's close with prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning that we have this wonderful privilege of being your servants. We thank you this morning that you are a good master, that you are a good, gracious Lord and master. And even as we think of all the responsibilities and all the things that you have given to us, we know that you will also equip us. You will also strengthen us. You have given your spirit so that we can accomplish your work. We're not on our own. I thank you for that this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we can trust that if you've given us a work to do, you will give us that which we need to accomplish that work. You are so good, Lord. You give us the strength. You give us the help day by day. I pray that you would encourage each and every brother and sister in here today that has considered their life and realized the lackings in their life as I have. And I pray you would encourage them to rise up and make decisions they need to make and be faithful. Lord, we look forward to the day we will hear well done. We want to hear that from you, and we look forward to it. And we praise you that you've given us these promises in your word, this parable. We thank you this morning. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.